Welcome to Mindful Moments of Mars. Mindful Moments of Mars is an audio experience that uses the writings of Edgar Rice Burroughs to explore mindfulness. And let's do it. Let's explore mindfulness. Let's get on board the train that's going to Mindfulness Station. There's only two passengers on this train, you and Gek. Gek is a spider creature. He's just crawled into a hole, which is on the train. You're watching it happen, and you're trying to take a mindful lesson from it. You're thinking, should I crawl into a hole? Or should I engage more with the world around me? Does mindfulness mean sticking my head in the sand or sticking my head in a hole where I know there's a rat so that I can eat the rat? Or does mindfulness mean that I need to be fully on the train and go to the dining cabin and order a salad? Let's find out. Gek descended into the burrow at a steep incline for some 10 feet when he found himself in an elaborate and delightful network of burrows. The Galdene was elated. This indeed was life. He moved... let's just keep going. He moved rapidly and fearlessly as he went as straight to his goal as he could to the kitchen of your own home. This goal lay at a low level in a spheroidal... This goal lay at a low level in a spheroidal cavity about the size of a large barrel. Here, in a nest of torn bits of silk and fur, lay six baby ulsios. When the mother returned, there were but five babies and a great spider-like creature, which she immediately sprang to attack, only to be met by the powerful Chele, which seized and held her so that she could not move. Slowly they dragged her throat towards a hideous mouth, and in a little moment she was dead. Gek might have remained in the nest for a long time, since there was ample food for many days, but he did not do so. Instead, he explored the burrows. He followed them into many subterranean chambers of the city of Manator, and upward through the walls to rooms above the ground. He found many ingeniously devised traps, and he found poisoned food and other signs of the constant battle that the inhabitants of Manator waged against these repulsive creatures that dwelt beneath their homes and public buildings. His exploration revealed not only the vast proportions of the network of runways that apparently traversed every portion of the city, but the great antiquity of the majority of them. Tons upon tons of dirt must have been removed, and for a long time he wondered where it had been deposited, until in following downward a tunnel of great size and length, he sensed before him the thunderous rush of subterranean waters, and presently came to the bank of a great underground river, tumbling onward, no doubt, the length of the world of a world to the buried sea of Omean. Into this torrential sewer had unthinkable generations of ulsios pushed their few handfuls of dirt in the excavating of their vast labyrinth. Okay. What has happened in this novel, which initially was focused on a rambunctious young princess who was eager to make her mark on the world and not to be forced into any kind of relationship that she wouldn't want to be a part of, who is very willful and self-determining, and someone we can relate to and understand and even be interested in. That is who the main character was for much of this novel. There has been a shift. I don't know if you've noticed. In case you haven't noticed, let me just explain. There's been a minor shift in this chapter from the story of this willful young woman who's trying to make her own destiny in a dying world and live up to the expectations of her heroic forebears. There's been a slight shift from her story to that of a spider eating babies in a network of tunnels and loving it. This spider creature is having a great time, and it has food for a month because these babies are unprotected. It is a reminder of that phrase, which I heard somewhere, that I don't remember where I heard, about nature is red in tooth and claw. Well, Gek is red in Chile, and I feel like he has a big mouth, like an O shape, and just goes, oh. He presumably has teeth as well. I think he did bite that rat mother to her end. It's a new direction for the story. It might not immediately be obvious why it relates to mindfulness and trying to find some kind of peace. But I think we should look at how Gek responds to his surroundings. Gek was in an unfamiliar place. He was imprisoned in a cell. But he made his way into a network of tunnels where he's far more comfortable, and he's loving it. And I think I said earlier, what is mindfulness about? Is it about burying your head in the sand, sticking your head into a tunnel, or is it about trying to be on a train? It turns out it is about sticking your head in a tunnel. That's where the true mindfulness is that Gek is experiencing. And you made the mistake of focusing on the train. Gek is living it up in the tunnel. I don't know how there's a tunnel on the train, but that's not important right now. What's important is you have made a mistake. You're on board the train. You're ordering a salad in the dining carriage. Gek is the one who has more than enough food. Gruesome as it may be in the details of it, but you're ultimately unsatisfied with your salad, you know? The leaves are a little bit wilted. The tomatoes leave a lot to be desired. And there's a very small amount of cheese, which is kind of where you're hoping to get a bit of the nutrition from the whole package. So here's the lesson from this. If you see a hole and you think there may be an aggressive mammal living in the hole, and your instinct is to not stick your head wholly within the hole. Okay, I'm not going to advise you to stick your head into a hole where there might be an aggressive mammal like a badger. But don't immediately assume you shouldn't do that. Because maybe that's the place for you. In the same way that that's the place for Gek. Now, am I speaking metaphorically, or am I speaking about a literal hole that you see in the ground and you think, that's a place I should not stick my head? I'm not sure. I think let's keep an open mind about whether this is something that we can apply literally in our lives, or is it a metaphor? And with that quandary, let's take a breath.